Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 169. And sorry, guys, this is a solo show. I'm going to be here at the Main Street Pub all by myself while Dennis is off playing at the beach. So enjoy yourself, then. But he will be back later on in the show because me and him did a top 10 list on our favorite track rides, roller coasters, and like the Walt Disney World Railroad, TTA. So hope you guys enjoy it. Next up, Star Wars weekends are going strong. I hope you guys hop over there to the studios if you're big Star Wars fans. I know I'd be there if Star Wars was my, you know, my favorite thing. I mean, I stay away a little bit. I enjoy everything else. If you guys, as you guys know, as you listen to the show, me and Dennis go to other rides while everybody's geeking out over Star Wars. But if you guys like it, enjoy it. Next up, Great Movie Ride. Great Movie Ride has made some serious changes. I mean, not major, but the signage has all been updated to include Turner Classic Movies. There's a new beginning to the ride, like when you walk in, not the ride, but the pre-show with the movie. So I can't wait to see that. I'm really looking forward to it. And then also at the ending, they have a whole new movie montage. They added a bunch of new clips. You got Guardians of the Galaxy, which is pretty cool. And guess what, guys? They added Frozen. Can you believe that? There's a Frozen clip in there. And then also, when you get off the ride, there's a new photo op that has, like, Turner Classic Movies in the backdrop. So I think this... I can't wait to see the new improvements, and I'm glad they spent some money on the Great Movie Ride, because that means it's not going anyplace. Next up, changes to the refillable mug. Oh, here comes the controversy again, guys. Disney's refillable mugs at the resorts. First of all, they're no longer going to have one day, 2 day, or 3 day options. You have to do the total length of stay. So if you're only staying there one day, it's going to cost you the new price of $17.99 for the length of stay price. Well, actually, I'm lying. The original length of stay price was $17.99, and they actually reduced the prices, so that's why I got so confused. So you can actually buy a refillable mug for all your, you know, you go up to your food courts and stuff for $16.49. The bad news is you can't get the single day, because the one day used to be $8.99, 2 days used to be $11.99, 3 days was $14.99, and like I said, $17.99 was for length of stay. Well, now you get it for $16.49, but it's 1 day or length of stay is the same price. But I can't believe they've actually dropped the price on anything. So that's good news for us, guys. I like to buy them. They're a good souvenir to have. I mean... And I wish they every year would change them out. I get tired that they keep the same ones year after year, but they seem to be changing them a little more. So I look forward to buying my next refillable mug. Next up, Reddy Creek Improvement District and Duke Energy sign a 5-year agreement to build a 5-megawatt solar facility to provide power to the Walt Disney World property. So, I mean, this is equivalent to... I don't even know how many houses it would be. I think 1,000 typical homes it would equal to. So that's how big this facility will be. So if you're driving down the road and you see a house that has all the solar panels on the roof, imagine that 1,000 times bigger. That's how big this is going to be. And Disney, you know, they're always on the cutting edge of new technology. They've always been conservationists, so I think this fits in perfectly. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to reading more about this, because me being in construction and all, I like when things like this go up. It piques my interest. I hope, you know, I know it ain't big news, it ain't a resort we're staying at or whatever, but anytime Disney can conserve energy, I doubt it, but maybe it'll stop them from raising one ticket price on something. You know, wishful thinking, right, guys? The facility will occupy approximately 20 acres near Walt World Drive and Epcot Center Drive at Walt Disney World Resort, and 48,000 solar panels will be arranged. But they're going to be arranged in some Disney-inspired, you know, maybe Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or something like that. Or let's say it, maybe something with Frozen. Maybe it'll be an Olaf solar panel setup. So one can only imagine what the Disney Imagineers will do. So I look forward to seeing what comes of this. Next up, Disney's going to have new ticket prices. What a survey says. Nothing is written in stone yet, but Disney's been putting out a survey to see if people would like to have different tiered ticket prices for different times of the year. There's going to be a gold, a silver, and a bronze. And it's going to kind of be like your annual passes where, you know, the gold would be you can go anytime you want. The silver would be selected days are off. And then the last lesser amount one would be the least crowded times of year would be off peak. So what they're going to do is have ticket prices for, you know, peak, most crowded, and I don't know, it's just going to be more and more confusing for everybody. And the thing of it is if the silver overruns the gold, you're going to pay the gold prices. So if you're going down on a trip that is between peak and non-peak, you're always going to pay the most expensive prices. They won't split it up like they will with your room rates. Like, know how sometimes during the week now your resort rooms, if they overlap, you know, weekends are always more than weekdays. Well, this is just going to be certain times of the year will be peak, you know, non-peak and value season. But let's all wait and see what happens. I'm sure me and Dennis will be kicking this around in future shows because this seems like it's something that's going to be happening in the not-so-near future. And guess what, guys? Food and wine is right around the corner again. This year it's going to be held from September 25th to November 16th. It'll be a 53-day event featuring 25 outdoor marketplaces, nightly eat and beat concerts, signature events, celebrity chef appearances, and a Ratatouille-inspired scavenger hunt. My wife loves Ratatouille, so I'd like to get involved in that. Hopefully we can get down there and see that this year. Marketplace menus. Among the dishes to debute are seared venison loin with wild mushroom ragu, and a Kimura dumpling at the new New Zealand marketplace, a grilled sweet and spicy bush berry shrimp and pineapple with pineapple peppers, onion, snap peas at the Australian marketplace. Over the farm marketplace, there will be a pepper bacon mac and cheese, and for a refreshing Scottish citrus thistle at the Scotland marketplace. I mean, I can't wait to start reading the menus. We will have Bob in from All in WDW, and we'll be going over food and wine. You guys know we usually do a couple weeks, you know, a couple weekend shows on this. So we're looking forward to talking food and wine. It's one of our favorite times of the year, and it gives us a lot of things to talk about on the show. Let's get into the performers that are going to be playing at the Eat to the Beat concert series, which they always, I enjoy a lot of the bands that play here. They usually change it up a little bit, so I'm looking forward. This year it's going to be singer-songwriter David Cook opens with the Eat the Beat concert series. He'll be there 25th through the 27th. Four new acts for 2015 will join the concert series lineup. Tiffany, Everclear, Maxi Priest, Chaka Khan. Popular returning acts include Wilson Phillips. I like some Wilson Phillips. Don't tell nobody, but I do. Smash Mouth, the Pointer Sisters, I'm so excited. Oh, did I sing that out loud? Jody Messina, Boyz II Men. I like Jody Messina and Boyz II Men and the Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. So I like the fact that this is all included in, you know, food and wine. It's nice. They don't charge you anything extra to see, you know, any of these bands, which were, if you start thinking about your prices of admission and stuff like that, food and wine, man, is worth every penny when you pay for your Epcot ticket. So, celebrity chefs this year. Chefs and cookbook author John Ash, who participated in inaugural Epcot International Food and Wine Festival in 1996, will return to celebrate the 20th milestone year. Other notable chefs include Kat Kors coming back. Hopefully she opens another restaurant in Disney. Robert Irvine, Jamie Dean, Paula Dean's son, Rock Harper, Kenny Gilbert, Buddy Valastro will cook with Epcot guests and share their culinary know-how during demos and premium events. I wish we could get down there because, you know, everybody who listens to this show knows how much me and my wife love to cook. So hopefully we can get down there and see some of these celebrity chefs. And then Remy Ratatouille, Hyde, and Squeak. Kids of all ages can join World Showcase Scavenger Hunt for a little Remy. I can't even read this. Stoddets hidden around the parks. World Showcase maps, stickers, and prizes will be handed out. I hope I can join in. I don't tell anybody if you don't, but I would enjoy a good scavenger hunt with Ratatouille, so looking forward to food and wine this year. Again, we'll be talking a lot more about it on shows to come. And one final little piece to continue with, you know, food. Zuri's Sweets to open soon in the new Harambe Marketplace. I cannot wait to get to this new Harambe Marketplace. Everybody knows how much I love the Animal Kingdom. I'm so excited that they have all these new food options there. I can't wait to try the ribs. I've been hearing nothing but incredible feedback about it. But the newly expanded area, Zuri's Sweets is built on the corner behind Mombasa's Market. There is no word yet on what the specific candies or treats or what kind of offerings they're going to have, but you know they're going to be good. If they're in the Animal Kingdom and made by Disney, we're going to be getting our sweet on it at the Animal Kingdom with this new Zuri's Sweets. I can't wait to try it. And it should be open within the next few weeks, and as soon as we get the menu and what kind of offerings they're going to have, we will give it to you guys. And one other quick thing, a new Hocus Pocus Villain Spectacular to debut this year, easy for me to say, at the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Can you guys believe tickets are and everything's getting ready to go on now for even the Halloween party? It's like, let us enjoy a little bit of summer. But, you know, it's just like clothes. Everything comes out 2 months ahead of time, or two seasons ahead of time, might I say. But, yeah, guys, get ready for the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Food and wine's coming. Pretty soon, guys, you're going to start your Christmas shopping. But, nah, let's enjoy the summer. So I hope you guys enjoyed me doing the news by myself. I missed you, Den. So let's get on to our next little segment. You'll get to hear Den there on our coasters and Walt Disney World Railroad and track rides. So that's it, guys. Have a great week and enjoy the next segment. Talk to you soon. So, Den, you ready to get into doing some coasters and track rides, our top 10 order?
Absolutely. I'm pumped.
So am I. We're going to do it. It'll be a little bit of everything. So, a little bit of everything on a track that we considered in this category. There was only 10 of them, so that made it a little easy on us, didn't it, Den?
Yeah, we didn't have to use our toes. We could stop with our fingers on this one.
Yeah, it's like coasters and a little bit of transportation type rides is what we put in this category.
Okay.
So what's number 10 for you, Den?
Number 10 for me is a late entry when we were putting this show together the other night. It's the Sum of All Thrills and Innovations. That's the, the round thing they put you in and you design your own track and your own coaster.
It's a pod over at Interventions where you punch in all the things. I have more fun watching it than I do riding it.
Yeah, I've never done the one down in Florida, but I did do the one out in Chicago when they had a Disney Quest out there, and it was pretty cool. It was probably 10 years ago or so, so I was more game for something like this, but it's pretty realistic the way it kind of turns you around, and you know, you feel safe because you know you're not up in a real coaster, but you can design some pretty wild stuff, and I remember it being pretty fun, actually.
It's too crazy for us old farts. I did it with my godson once, and I made him I got to design it. There was no upside down, none of that. It was just a nice little, it was basically an old wooden-style roller coaster by the time we were done with it.
Oh, yeah. When I went, my son, we had barrel rolls and all kinds of stuff. I mean, he built it to the max. And like I said, psychologically to me, it didn't bother me because I knew we were just, because we had watched, you know, we were in the queue line for a while and we watched everybody do it. And you're never more than a foot or two off the ground. So I guess if things get a little too hairy, you just close your eyes and, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, the one in Interventions kind of gets sometimes up to 6 or 7 feet off the ground, but it's still, and that arm flipping all over the place, I prefer to be on the real thing instead of in there. It kind of like if you take your eyes off it, you can get a little motion sick too for me.
Right. But see, my mentality is it's less apt to something to go wrong, like fly off the track or something. Not that that happens too often. In fact, it rarely ever happens, but you know, I don't know. My mind works like that. I feel safer on something like that than the real deal.
So we both have that at 10, and it would have been outside if something else would have been in her probably for the two of us.
Right.
So what's number nine for you?
Number nine for me is Rockin' Roller Coaster, starring Aerosmith. Again, years ago, this was probably one of my most favorite attractions on property. I've done this dozens and dozens of times, but just lately, the motion gets to me, and I don't enjoy it anymore because it does make me a little queasy, and my neck and stuff doesn't feel that great when I get off it. So I haven't been on this in a couple of years, but I love everything about it. I love the giant guitar outside. I love the queue line, and being from Boston, Aerosmith is my favorite band, so I just love everything about that attraction. I just wish I could go on it more than I do, which is basically I don't go on it. But that's why it's so far down on my list, but it certainly is one of the premier attractions down there in Hollywood Studios.
Well, I'm kind of on the same with you. Rock and Roller Coaster came in at 7 for me.
Okay.
But I kind of got a lot of the same feedback that you have. If you're young kids, young adults, go on it. It's a must-do. It's one of the best rides on all property. It's one of the best coasters there is out there. The catapult, the beginning of it, is absolutely incredible, the 0 to 60. It's awesome. It's my favorite part of the ride. I wish I could just do that and get off.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I feared most when I first went on it. And, it literally happens so fast before you even have a chance to really think about it. You're already into a corkscrew and mm-hmm. you're cruising up and all the neon signs and stuff. I think the anticipation of waiting for the car to blast off, if you will, is worse than the actual blast off itself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, see, I used to race motocross and I used to race cars, so that's fun to me, the takeoff. The upside down is what I don't like.
Yeah, and there again, I mean, I was apprehensive about that as well. But again, it happens so darn fast that before you have a chance to say, oh, no, here comes a car, you're through it and you're on to something else before your mind really catches up with it. So I don't really mind that part of it because, what I hate worse as far as coasters go, like when you slowly go up the giant hill and you're getting higher and higher.
See, I love that.
To me, that anticipation, that kills me. I'd rather just have it over with. That bothers me more than anything. So that's why I like Rock and Roller Coaster, because once that car takes off and you do the countdown, essentially the ride's over before you blink your eye. I mean, it's that quick.
It's a super smooth ride. It's a must-do. I think what happens with me with loop-de-loops, years and years ago, our local park, the local Great Adventure here, one of the very first loop rides was called Lightning Loops. It was at Great Adventure. And me and my buddy Bill got to go on, and all you did is go straight down a hill, do the loop back up the hill, and then you reverse, went backwards and up. The whole ride didn't take long. It wasn't that long of a coaster, but it was the first vertical, like where you went upside down kind of coaster that was around. I guess we were like 15, 16, so that tells you how long ago it was.
Right.
But the padding on the ride was so bad that the actual bolts went. Me and Billy both had welts in our back from the bolts. It was the first day it opened, so they had to reconfigure it. And ever since then, I've never liked going upside down on a coaster. And like you said, it is smooth. It's awesome. I've done it many, many times. It isn't a must-do for me anymore either. But I like the whole scene. I love the whole thing where you're getting in the limo, the band talks to you. The whole queue is awesome.
Yeah, that's probably one of the better queues in, on property. And, it occupies your time. And, it's a little dated now, but, what else isn't down there? I mean, it is what it is. I mean, in this attraction, there's always, always, always rumors that, at some point they're going to at least refurb it and possibly put another band in there other than Aerosmith. But I haven't heard anything for a while. That's kind of simmered down. But I think, and it makes some sense to me. I don't want that to happen because, like I said, I really love Aerosmith. But I think that at some point in the near future, that's probably inevitable that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I hope not either, because I like the iconic I like the iconicness of it, like the guitar, the whole nine yards. It's one of the few things I want them to keep at the studios.
Right. Well, I remember like a few years ago when the Jonas Brothers were hot, they were saying they were gonna, you know, potentially.
Oh, I'd have never gone to it. Then.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just kidding. Saying. But it just goes to show you how things change, because as hot as they were, they're pretty much, you know, off the radar now. So you really do got to be careful about what you're changing into, because, you know, something like, you know, a band like Aerosmith that's been around for, what, 4 or 5 decades does have a mass following across many generations.
Oh,
so
even my godson, who's 18, 19, plays the guitar, and he loves Aerosmith. I mean,
right. The
music is, you know, it stands the test of time, if you ask me. Dream on, everybody. I don't think that song will ever go away.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I guess that's why they'd have to be very careful. But, you know, I suppose as long as they can, you know, remain partners and, you know, and the band is happy with whatever, you know, agreement they're under and Disney wants to keep them, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do it again, but we shall see.
Well, for the most part, and we'll continue after this, for the most part, if Steven Tyler's happy, it'll stay there.
Right.
He's the one you got to keep happy.
Yeah, actually, if you remember, just what, a couple of months ago,
he was down there.
I think you tweeted a picture or retweeted a picture.
Yeah.
And if he was at odds with Disney in any way, I don't think he'd be you know, going on vacation down there. So I think all is good with the rock and roller coaster.
Yeah, I got a lot of feedback off of that picture.
Right.
Number 9 for me is Expedition Everest.
Okay.
And Expedition Everest came real close to being 10 for me, but I just couldn't put it behind Some of All Thrills. Again, I love the beauty of it. I love the cue of it. The ride has always let me down. I wish they would have did more like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train with Expedition Everest. I just don't think they did enough animatronics on the ride. I think they let me down. They just made a roller coaster in a mountain.
Yeah, I mean, I give it a little more credit than that, but I think it has the aura, if you will, of, because the giant Yeti doesn't work anymore, it's the butt of all jokes, you know, and it is a shame. I mean, I'm glad I was able to see it a couple of times when I went on it right out of the gate, if you will. Yeah. You know, he was working, so I'm glad that I saw that, and I think that not working takes a lot away from it.
Absolutely. Me and Brenda seen it working, and then we also seen it with the red light. It's like, come on. Really, Disney?
Right.
Yeah.
Disco Yeti, they call it, or
whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like, stop it. But the point of it is I've said a million times, and I'll say it a million more, that I wish it would have been more of a show on the way up the hill, and then he broke the tracks, and you went free instead of... It's a jackrabbit. It's basically a jackrabbit with a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful mountain around it.
Yeah, I mean, I give it a little more credit. I mean, you got the bird when you're going up when he's working, and, you know, that is kind of a classic, if you will, if that can be a classic being such a new attraction. But, you know, when you get up to the point where the track is broken off and it looks like you might potentially go over the side of the mountain, I mean, that's exciting. And then when the track switches and you go to go back down, of course, you have the Yeti that's kind of a shadow, if you will. And the whole point of that is that he was supposed to have broken that track. So although he doesn't literally do it, you know, move the track, if you will, you know, the inference is there that that's what happened, that he, you know, mangled the track up, and that's why you're going backwards now.
Yeah, kids love it. Younger generation loves it. I just think it wasn't Disney-fied the way it should have been. The mountain, beautiful, gorgeous. One of my screensavers I have is the way Brenda took the picture. It looks like I'm climbing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in, you know, I love the Animal Kingdom. I love the way it looks back there. To me, anymore, the last few times I used to give fast passes away to kids for it. I've done it a couple times. I'm over it. To me, if the Expedition Everest falls in the line of Cinderella's Castle, the Tree of Life, the Spaceship Earth, it's just another iconic figure in the parks. The Man Chinese Theater, that's what it is to me.
Yeah, I mean, this particular, you know, coaster, if you will, I mean, it doesn't bother me, the ride itself, and the thing I do like about it is the fact that it doesn't, there's no giant drops on it. It's kind of, you know, Big Thunder Mountain on steroids, and that it gradually you go down further and further down the hill.
It's smoother than Big Thunder, too. Yeah. Don't joke you around. I think Big Thunder is a better ride than that as far as the actual thrill of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the thrill, but certainly the aesthetics on Big Thunder. There's a lot more going on, and there's a lot more to see, and all the goats and different things when you're going through the scenes.
Well, when you get wound up and whipping around them bends and stuff, I think it's more, to me, it's more exhilarating. Yeah. Where did it come in for you anyway, Expedition Everest?
Number 8, so I was right next to you.
We're going back and forth here.
Yeah, well, again, for all the same reasons I said. I mean, I would go on it if we were to meet up down there and, you know, you wanted to go on, let's just say, I'd go on. But if I was just down there, you know, my wife and I or with the family or whatever, I could take it or leave it. It's just not something that I have to do. I'd rather go on Dinosaur twice than go on that, but that's just me.
Well, number 7, continue with it. Number 8 for me was actually Spaceship Earth. I mean, Space Mountain. I'm sorry, Spaceship Earth. I would take Spaceship Earth over most of these, but Space Mountain came in at number 8 for me.
Okay. Yeah.
What about for you? Where did it come in for you?
Space Mountain's number 7 for me.
Okay, so there we go. 7, 8, 9, and 10 has just shifted around for us.
Right, right. And again, you know, we'll say it again, like you always say. We've said it 100 times. But, I mean, it's a herky-jerky ride. You know, I've enjoyed it many, many, many times over the years. And, you know, I will go on it again. I won't say that Space Mountain is an attraction I wouldn't go on. But, you know, I just, you know, prefer not to do something like that at this point in my life. It's probably been a couple years since I've been on it. But, like I said, if the conditions were right or, you know, if me, you, and Bob were there or something and we wanted to, you know, have a good day in the Magic Kingdom or something, I'd go on it. I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It wouldn't be me pushing you to go on it. I mean, okay. I'd have to be, for me to go on this again, I'm going to have to be put on kicking and screaming. I like the ride again. Anybody going down, this is why we decided to do this, because summer's coming, a lot of new people headed down to the parks. We wanted to review most of the rides, so we figured it'd be fun to do this for everybody. Space Mountain is a must-do. For me, I like the building more now than I do the ride the same way. Space Mountain, when I'm over at the Contemporary or you're coming into the parks, you see that. Isn't it awesome to see the outer shell of Space Mountain?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar to what you said about Expedition Everest. It's iconic. I mean, even though it's not the castle, we know that's the weenie for the Magic Kingdom, but certainly if you show that picture to almost anybody, they're going to know what that is, that it's Space Mountain at Walt Disney World, or any of the parks for that matter. But I agree with you. I mean, this one, I'd probably more apt to go on than Expedition Everest now, but that's just me.
Yeah, see, me with Space Mountain, I do not feel comfortable in the car.
Yeah, it is kind of cramped.
Yeah, and I don't like the idea of constantly feeling like I'm going to hit my head, even though I know I'm not going to.
Right, right.
It just freaks me out. I just don't like how I feel when I'm on there. Now, again, ride it. If you've never been down, it's always one of the favorites. Like, Mike, I know other guys from other shows, they absolutely love it, this ride. It's just not for me and Dennis.
Yeah, I mean, I got to echo what you just said. I mean, absolutely. If you're going down first time, second time, whatever, I mean, get a fast pass for this. This is one of the premier attractions on not only in Walt Disney World, but Disney parks around the world. So don't listen to us as far as this goes. It's just not our cup of tea, but by all means, get a fast pass and go on it, because you're missing out if you don't. It's an awesome ride.
Absolutely. I tell all the younger generation, anybody going down for the first time, you got to try this.
Right.
Me and you have been there, done that. We've gotten the T-shirt many a time. I don't need to see my war wife's head look like it's going to fall off her shoulders anymore on it.
Right, right.
So what's number 6, Dan?
Number 6 for me is the Wildlife Express Rafiki Planet Watch, and that's the train that takes you out to the, you know, Rafiki's Planet Watch, if you will, where you can, they got the petting zoo, and they got the, you know, where you can see the
animals.
Veterinarians that are working on the animals or potentially, you know, doing some minor surgery or fixing their teeth or whatever. It's awesome out there.
We've been lucky the last few times we've been out to Rifki. We literally have been a part of surgeries. And last time, remember I told you I got the big ball that they gave me that the Tigers play with?
Yeah. You were saying that. You were amazed how heavy it was.
And I actually tweeted out pictures of it. It's just cool the way they play with that. And they say they'll tear them up in a couple weeks. They're going.
Yeah.
They got to redo them. I said, I get it. Rifke, the Wildlife Express was number four for me.
You really, really like that, huh?
It's just home for me. I mean, I geek out on it. Just, I wish my luggage was really on the roof of that train and I was going on an exploration. I could literally ride the train itself. Like, well, I'll go back and forth sometimes, and then we get off and go into the veterinarian and look around the, do all the different
right.
sites, talk to the veterinarian, see the different exhibits that they have there. But sometimes we'll grab a drink or... Not a drink, but something to snack. We'll get on there and we'll ride it out. We'll ride it back, and then we'll ride it back out and get off.
Right. Yeah, it is a peaceful ride. I mean, and the difference between that and the Walt Disney World Railroad is that the cars face sideways, so you can see some of the buildings where the animals are housed when they're not out on the savannah. And, it's just pretty cool if you've ever been out to Disneyland, that's how their, not Walt Disney World Railroad, but the Disneyland Railroad, that's how the cars are. That you don't sit front to back, you sit sideways like that, so you get a better view of the park depending on which side you're sitting on. So it kind of reminds me of that too. It's kind of a throwback to Disneyland, but I agree with you. It's a nice little ride out there. It's only a couple minutes. It can't be more than
probably
five.
10 minutes. Yeah, five.
You think
10,
it's that long?
Yeah, it takes you a little longer than you think. It's a nice ride.
Yeah,
it's relaxing. It's comfortable, and you know why they have the cars that way in Disneyland and not Disney World?
No, why?
The reason in Disneyland is because they don't want you seeing outside of the park because it's everybody else's stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's why they face inside the park. That makes sense.
Yeah, they don't want you seeing the Howard Johnsons on, Santa Monica Boulevard or wherever. You understand what I'm saying? They want you to look at what's nice. Where at Disney World, everything is owned by them. So they don't care which side you see. They want you to see it all.
Yeah, I mean, there are places when you're on the train at Walt Disney World where you can see they put up vegetation or even that camouflage-like screening or fencing or whatever. So you can tell that they don't want you to see something. You know, it might be a storage building or maybe trucks loading up to a dock or something. But they do a good job at kind of hiding all that stuff at Walt
Disney World. Yeah, because they want you at Disney World, when you're coming back out to the main train station, they want you to see Bay Lake and Contemporary and see the monorail. They want it all to be there. Out in Disneyland, they want to keep the Courtyard by Marriott out of your mind.
Yeah. I mean, they've screened off a lot of it there, too. But you are right. The fringes of the park do butt up against, other hotels or what have you. So they don't have the luxury of, the size of Walt Disney World, obviously. So that is absolutely true.
Well, number six was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Okay.
Where did that come in for you?
Number five.
Okay. the reason this came in at six for me is I love the ride. I'm higher on it than others. I don't criticize it like my old ex-host, as it could have been longer. Well,
right.
It could have been longer, if the park was just rebuilt, but they only had so much property to build it on. And I think for the amount of property and the real estate that they had to put this on, I think they did the best they could with it. I love the animatronics in here. They're really cool. The train, for as small as the track does, it gets up to a nice little speed, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And it is smooth and, the way the cars actually... I don't really notice it when I'm on it. Like, I thought the swinging of the cars would give you a different sensation. But like you said, Doug, it's so smooth that I don't even really notice it. I mean, do you?
No, like, I think what the cars do is make it not as whippy as Big Thunder is.
Right, because
it goes with the turn.
Exactly, yeah. I agree with that. But when we all saw pictures and they were making a big deal about how the cars were suspended and, it kind of, they'd swivel or whatever, I thought that would give you a different sensation. But when you're on the car, you would just think you're just on the track and you're taking the turn, But you're right, it made it smoother, but it just wasn't what I was expecting, I guess, from having the cars hung like that.
Absolutely.
I don't don't know.
Yeah, they made it a lot smoother. I thought it would give you a little bit more of a buck, or like you were saying, a different thrill as far
right,
as. But it, actually, right. What they were probably, it looks like they were going for, is to make it as smooth as possible.
Yeah, no, but I love this attraction. I totally agree with you. I think for the footprint they had, and you know, the other alternative is they could have done nothing and still charge the same amount. So, I mean, anytime they can add, you know, an attraction like that. And yes, we did lose, you know, Snow White's Scary Adventure, which, you know, that was, and, you know, people say they love that dark ride. I mean, I used to enjoy it and go in it, but well, let's face it, that was, that had seen its better days. And I think what we got in this mine train is, you know, light years ahead of where, the, you know, Snow White's Scary Adventure was. So I think it's an upgrade, and, you know, I'm not critical of this. I think it's a great, great little ride.
I think it was worth the wait. I really enjoyed it. One of my highlights of my last trip was the very first time I rode it with my wife. Like I told you, we did extra magic hours. They had the fans on. It was just an awesome night for me. The weather was perfect. It was like high 70s if you follow me at night. It was beautiful out. I loved the whole atmosphere of it. I can't wait to go on again. The only reason it didn't make it up further is because there's things that have a little more sentimental value to me for over the years.
Right, and based on how this list is going, I think we're going to have a similar a similar top four or five. Yeah, top four, I guess. It'll be interesting to see if we're right on.
Okay, well, number five for me was Big Thunder Mountain.
Okay.
And the reason I have this higher than Mine Train is because it is the original. I think Mine Train is the little brother of the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And I honestly think, and we just disagreed earlier in the show, I think this attraction gives you more of a thrill and more of a whip through them turns than any of the other roller coasters, though. It seems faster to me, especially if you ride this at night.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think it gives you the sensation of going faster than you actually are because of the way the tight turns are, and there's points in the ride where, you know, you can kind of see over the mountain. I got to disagree with you there. I think that, you know, Expedition Everest and even Space Mountain, I think, is more exhilarating, I would say, from a coaster perspective. But, Big Thunder Mountain, which for me it was number three on my list, that's my favorite coaster in all of Disney World.
Mine
that's,
too, as you yeah, can that, see here, but it was five. But right. I Space Mountain annoys me because of the dark and the tight car. Expedition Everest annoys me. The thing about, if you think about Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, you don't get a break the entire time.
Well,
you get one little lag, and then you
the
just start
there,
going
yeah.
whipping again.
Right, right. When you climb up that, like, second hill, if you will, you're in the cave there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of get a 30-second little respite from the ride, and then you're off and running.
And then beat up again, and that's what I like about it. It's like nonstop speed on that ride.
Yeah. No, I don't have a bad thing to say about Big Thunder. That's, like I said, that is one attraction that if we end up at the Magic Kingdom any of our days, that is the definite one attraction, you know, that we'll do. If we're only doing a handful of attractions, we're only there a half a day, or sometimes on getaway day, if we have a later flight and we go to the Magic Kingdom in the morning, we'll definitely do Big Thunder. That's a you know, all-time favorite for us.
Absolutely. I never miss it. I mean, once in a blue mood, and it only happens because if Brenda's not in the mood or we have to leave somewhere, but it 99% of the time we got to get on this at least once, if not twice, every trip.
Yeah, I totally agree.
What's number four for you?
Number four for me is the Walt Disney World Railroad. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but, you know, that's a mode of transportation that is, it's relaxing on a hectic day. If you can't get out of the park and you've just had enough, you can grab it at the, you know, right at the main entrance there of Walt Disney World, and it stops at, Fantasyland, what's the stop before that?
Frontierland. It stops at Frontierland
yeah,
first.
Frontierland and Fantasyland, and then back to the front of the Magic Kingdom. But, yeah, this is something you can just hop on and off. You know, like we just said, you can get off at two other stops other than the front. And it's just awesome. It's a real steam engine. And, you know, they have a voiceover that kind of tells you some facts about the you know, what scenes you're going to see, and, you know, just little hokey things like that. But, yeah, this is a great way, and a lot of people don't even realize it. If you don't want to walk through the whole park and through the hub, you can, you know, jump on this and get out to Fantasyland pretty quick.
At the end of the night, ride it back to the front of the park if it's available for you. If you're back in Fantasyland or whatever, or Frontierland, hop on it.
Yeah, I've done that a few times when I've been real tired. I'm not sure what time they stop running, but I think it's a little earlier in the evening. Obviously, they don't run it, you know, anywhere near when any of the fireworks shows are going on. But I think it kind of stops, you know, I'm going to say 6, 7 o'clock. I may be wrong. If somebody knows, let us know. But because you always hear that when it is running, that, you know, yeah, the whistle in the background. And, you know, you can even hear that over Fort Wilderness, or if you're even at the Contemporary, I mean, on a nice still night, you can hear that, you know, pretty far on property, even away from the Magic Kingdom. But it, you know, even if you're not even going to go on it, you'll just, the ambient sound, you'll just hear it there, and it's comforting, because it was down, I think the last time I was there, it was down for refurb or something, and it seemed like there was something missing, and then it was like, oh yeah, the train isn't running. And you know, the conductors, you know, they're, you know, real conductors, if you will. I mean,
they have to
members.
Be to drive those steam
yeah
trains.
But it is a steam engine, and they need to be qualified to run that piece of equipment, so it's authentic in that it's a steam engine. But it's also you know, it's definitely an attraction. And you know, a lot of people, when they talk about attractions in the Magic Kingdom, they overlook this one, but it certainly is. And you know, I try to get on this at least, you know, once every trip at least, because it's I don't know. I just really enjoy it.
Well, it's number one for me, so that shows you how much I enjoy it.
Yeah,
and the reason
so.
It's number one for me is people, I think, miss it, because I've said on other shows, and I'll say it again to help people out, especially for first-timers. As soon as you go through the park, it's right there on your left-hand side. And you hop right, you can go right, you got to go into the left and go on up, but I think people don't realize, I think some people don't realize you can actually ride it.
Yeah, if you're a first-timer, I could see where you might think that, because there's really no big sign saying, you know, Walt Disney World Railroad this way. I mean, I think there's a little placard or some
Yeah, there
of
is,
sign.
But if you didn't know it, you're not looking for it. But and the other reason, I love it. I love being on the ride. I like going around the park. It's just an awesome, relaxing ride around to see everything. Listening to the spiel going on, it's classic. But what I also, that wraps it in a nice bow for me is, it's the first thing you see when you get to the Magic Kingdom, and I think that sets the tone for everything. Just the beauty of that railroad station is absolutely gorgeous to me, the way you walk underneath it. So I think the iconicness of it is what sells it for me, that makes it my number one.
Yeah, I mean, and if you do get up early enough to do rope drop, I mean, they open up the Magic Kingdom every morning, and all the characters are on the train, and when they bring the train from backstage, the characters get on there, and that's the little show, if you've never seen it. But all the characters greet all the guests that are, you know, outside waiting to get into the Magic Kingdom. So that, you know, the train plays a kind of a vital role in opening up the park each and every day as well.
Absolutely, Dan. I just love this ride. I always go on it. And the thing of it is, the older I get, the more I can love it, because that ain't going to make me not ride it.
Right, and it's a throwback to Walt. I mean, we've all seen that picture of him in the, you know, engine at Disneyland, and he's got a big smile on his face as
his
he's
favorite
coming
thing
into
we're
the
trained,
station.
Man.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, that's certainly a throwback to Walt, and having that in the park in Florida was a nice touch, because it kind of links the, you know, back to Disneyland. And like we said, the trains are a little different, but same idea. They go around the outside of the parks.
Not, it wouldn't be the same without it. What's number two for you?
Number two for me is Test Track. This is, again, a family favorite for us. You know, when we started going to Disney World, this was one that really blew us away, and we were like, oh my God. And, you know, the thing about this is, when you get outside on the back stretch there and you hit 65 or 66 miles an hour, you would think you're going 166 miles an hour the way
it feels.
Because
of the scale of the car.
Yeah, yeah. So, it, you know, even though when you really think about it, you're not going any faster than you would on your local highway, but like you said, Doug, the scale and, you know, with all the track and everything and what you just went through with the, you know, the test track inside and all the different, you know, that with the steering and the brakes and all that stuff, it just gets you amped up. But I mean, that's quite a feeling when you get out on that back stretch and you almost wish it would keep going. And it seems like it stops before you really had your fill of it. But yeah, this attraction is, it's in my top three of all attractions in Disney World, period, let alone, you know, track rides or coasters or whatever. Again, this is one that, you know, the unfortunate thing, though, is with the new FastPass Plus system, you can't get Soarin' and Test Track, you know, on your original three. So you got to kind of, you got to choose one over the other. And then when you get, when you burn your three fast passes, hope that there's some left for the one you didn't do. But other than that, I mean, this is just a great, great attraction.
Yeah, or a little tip could be is go get your fast pass for Soarin' and then go do single rider line on Test Track.
Yeah, I've done that, and it does work quite well. You know, and we've even done it with a group, and sometimes we've ended up in the same car, even though we were single rider. But, yeah, that can work. And, you know, again, if you don't mind sitting with somebody else or some other family, which inevitably that's going to happen. And the seating is quite tight in there. I mean, what are they, three across, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, if you're with people you don't know or somebody else, it can be a little awkward, I've found. But if you definitely want to get on it, single rider line is the way to go. You can usually get right in there and get on fairly quickly.
Well, it is number two for me, too. And this has also been, depending on the day, this could be my favorite. And this is one of two rides where I think 100% is better at night than during the day. There's nothing better than extra magic hours riding Test Track on a beautiful summer night in the parks, or beautiful, because it's always warm down in Florida, but for the most part,
right.
Not in February, but you know, on a nice night, it is awesome to get out there. It even seems faster. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, it is faster because the scale is smaller. It's kind of, you ever ride them raced go-karts?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can feel the speed. You're doing 50 in a go-kart, you feel you're doing 150. By scale, you actually are.
Right, right.
But I do love Test Track, and I would recommend, if you're going to choose myself, I choose Soarin' every time for my Fast Pass. Reason being, Brenda loves it, mm-hmm. Soarin'. She loves both equally. We both, you know, but the thing of it is I'd rather stand in the line on the queue line of Test Track any day of the week over the Soarin' one. And Soarin's line usually always is longer.
And it's more boring, like you said.
Exactly. At least at Test Track, you got things to look at, things to do. The loading area, you make your car, so time goes by. There's different things that you get to do. Soarin', you just stand there looking at that wall with the once in a while with the projection. You know what I mean? It's boring as heck. Don't you agree?
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I know we covered this when we talked about Test Track on one of the other shows. I mean, I love the ride for what it is from the time you actually get into the car and go through. I mean, as far as the refurb they did, I prefer the older version, but I mean,
you're always loyal to the older stuff.
Yeah, no, that's how I am. I mean, but what I'm saying is it doesn't take away from, I mean, the layout of the track and everything else is exactly the same. I mean, all they did was spruce up some things, and like you alluded to, Doug, they, you know, put in a new queue area where you have some interactive stuff with computers and building the car and all that stuff. But, you know, to me, that isn't why I like it or dislike it. I mean, to me, it's the actual ride itself. It's an awesome ride.
See, I miss the beginning of, I miss the older part with the comedian that tells you do 2, 5, and 7.
Seven?
The you know, the movie. I mean, that little skit that they did
on
TV.
Yeah.
But everything else I like better on the new one. Because I think it's just as much fun, but you get something different out of it.
Right.
I like the upgrade on it. I like making the car. I thought it was fun doing that. It was interactive. Me, Brenda, and Donna were messing with it. I watched a lot of other families working on it, and it seemed like there was a lot more. It brought family togetherness more than what the old ride did, because every kid wants to play with those games. And then also afterwards, when you download your car into the race game that you have after it. I watched the kids. They were excited about that. So I like the way it brings families together.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. I'd be halfway over to the World Showcase by that
exactly.
time.
Exactly, but you're not a
me.
Computer kind of kid. You're right. not a computer kind of guy. Like, right, you're not right. into video games and all that, where young kids are. They got the tablets and the iPod. They're all into that stuff. So, you know, if you stood there and watched, even if, like, as I let Brenda and Donna finish the car, like, mess with it the second time we did it,
yeah.
and I was just standing there looking around, because that's what I do for the show. It's, you know, slow down, look around, enjoy the view. I was enjoying myself watching every one of these families, like, getting into making a monster truck or a smaller car, and they were just having a great time together. And the
yeah.
old ride, you didn't have that. Everybody was, by the time you got into the elevator, I called them the elevators, but the rooms,
mm-hmm.
people were getting miserable. Then you're just crowded into that room together. I enjoyed it because I'm a Disney geek, but a lot of people weren't even paying attention to it.
No, I agree. And, you know, that's why they make vanilla and chocolate.
Exactly.
I mean, everyone's different. It doesn't make it right or wrong. I mean, some people ignore the queue line. Some people, you know, really get into it, whatever. Bottom line is you're just waiting to get on the ride, no matter how you look at it. But I guess if, you know, they can give you some enjoyment, or, you know, it can take your mind off of the long wait for 5 minutes, it's all good. I mean, I don't put anybody down that does do it. I just, not anything that interests me.
It's not your cup of tea.
Exactly.
So let me guess, what is your number one? Could it be Tomorrowland Transit Authority?
It's a small
mover?
World after all. No.
Okay.
That's on a threat. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah, Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. I mean, it's probably one of the slowest moving attractions on property. But again, it in my view, it's a very popular attraction because it kind of gives you not only do I like the ride vehicle, which are kind of comfortable, they have padded seats in there, but you can go all around Tomorrowland inside Space Mountain, which if you're a couple of old fogies like we are and you don't ride that anymore, you can see glimpses of and hear the people screaming as they're going around the Space Mountain. And I think everybody's seen this at this point. And usually if you ride the TTA enough, you'll see that Space Mountain with the lights on, because occasionally it stops for whatever reason. And when that happens, they throw the lights on for, you know, to look at the track or whatever it is they're doing. And it just gives you a totally different view and a different I guess visual
perspective,
if you will,
of the ride.
Yeah, and I think you'd even think you'd hit your head more when you see it with the light on, because it just looks like a jumbled mess of steel. It's just everywhere in there. But anyways, the TTA, I mean, I just like the way it goes all the way around through Space Mountain, and it tells you all about the attractions that are in Tomorrowland. You know,
one of my
Buzz
favorite.
Lightyear.
That's what I was going to say. One of my favorite things, because it came in for three. For me, and all these are awesome to me.
Oh yeah!
But when you go through Buzz and the different store, you even see this. You go through a couple. You go through the stores, and you go through past the Tomorrowland Speed. All that stuff. It's just awesome. Astro Orbiter. But when I go around Carousel Progress, I tear up a little bit.
Yeah, you got Carousel of Progress, and then, you know, they mention Stitch's Great Escape. Everything that's in there, and I think it's Mickey's Star Traders that you go through.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's that model of Walt's concept of what Epcot was supposed to look like on the left-hand side when you're riding it. And, you know, there's some parts that are, I don't want to say boring. I mean, they're just
dark.
Well,
yeah, like Debbie on Be Our Guest, she's the one that said that she wished they would change some of that stuff.
Oh, did she? I didn't hear that particular show.
Yeah, remember they said let's plus it to make it better.
Oh,
I called
okay.
about putting the...
Yeah.
Because that's what started the live show. I called about putting the skippers back on the Living with the Land.
Okay.
And I was like, it's her opinion, but I don't want to touch this ride. Leave it alone. I like the darkness for a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's what I was going to say. Even on a hot summer day, you're moving just fast enough where it generates a breeze, even if there is no breeze. And then when you go into some of those dark caverns or tunnels, whatever you want to call them, you know, you catch some air conditioning in there. And, oh, you just, you know, can really sit back, get off your feet and enjoy the view and just kind of take it all in. And then what I love to do, and I know you do too, Doug, is, you know, I'll only do this if it's not too busy. If there's no line at all, or, you know, I'm not saying if there's a guest coming every, you know, minute or two, but, you know, if there's no line for you know, if there's no...
If the escalator isn't packed and you don't see people coming up, you'll stay on just like I will and ask to go around again.
Yeah, you just give the wave and say, we're going to stay. And I've never been refused, although I've never put myself in the position where I would do it if the, you know, if the escalator there or whatever was full of people. I don't think that's right when people are waiting in line and you're going twice. But, you know, if there's little to no line there, I mean, what do they care? They're there working. And like I said, nobody has ever told me no. And I think once I might have done it three or four times. That was my max of back to back to back to back.
Yeah, Brendan will wave me off after the second time. Okay, that's it. Calm down. But I use the gauge of how many open cars there are, because you can usually tell by how vacant.
Yep.
I've gotten on that ride where five cars down was the next person. Ten cars down sometimes. It's crazy. And then you'll get on it where it's packed. And if it's packed around me, I get off it.
Right. That's respect. To me, that's the respectful thing to do. I mean, you know, if you were waiting in line and you saw some, you know, people going on a second time, that wouldn't set right with me. But again, you got to just be your own guide and do the right thing, I guess.
We both absolutely love the People Mover, and we always will. I can't wait to get back on it again. And that's just another ride that I think it's a plus when you're riding at night.
Yeah.
The neon lights at Tomorrowland.
Yeah. If
you only plan on going on it once and you're going to be there all day, I highly recommend you do it at night.
Yeah, I agree. It's a different feel, a different sense, and, you know, you get to see all the lights around Tomorrowland, and,
I kind of compare it to, and I know you have them up in Massachusetts. How much more vibrant is the boardwalk at night than it is during the day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Whole different feel. You'd almost think you're in a different place.
It could be just as crowded. It could be the same amount of people up there. But at nighttime, it seems so much more – seemed cleaner, first of all, on our boardwalk. But it just seems like a more happening, better place at nighttime than it does during the day.
Yep.
The ride during the day is awesome. Me and you will do it day, night, anytime we can, dusk. But I highly recommend, if you're only going to do it one time, the nighttime is the best time.
Yeah, I would agree. And generally speaking, you can always just walk on this attraction. That's another good thing. You don't need to burn a fast pass. And like I said, if you get burnt out in the middle of the afternoon or after supper, you just want to relax but still do something, I mean, that's a great option. You know, maybe digest your food a little bit before you go on Big Thunder. Big Thunder or Mine Train or Space Mountain. Yeah, pick anyone. But, it's great. I love this attraction. That's why it was number one on my list.
All three on my end, but all these are pretty much, the top seven for me all could have gone anyway.
Right.
So,
I agree.
But that was fun, Dan. I really enjoyed doing these. We got one more to go. We're going to do the Misfits, everyone that didn't fit into the last three categories. Sound good to you?
Yeah, the Land of the Misfit Attractions.
Exactly. It'll be like on Toy Story when they got sent off to... with Lotso and them over at the daycare center.
Right, right. To be played with again.
Yes. But I'm looking forward to it. Guys, please, if you could go over to iTunes and leave us a review, we'd really, really appreciate it. Don't you concur, Dan?
I do. That helps us out, move higher in the rankings, so when people search Walt Disney World Podcast, we're more apt to come up, and that way we can share the WDW Main Street joy with everybody.
And please go over to our website at www-magicalmainstreetmemories. Check out all of our sponsors. Please, guys, if you like our show, go over and try our sponsors out, because we wouldn't be backing them if they weren't first class. So that'll be it. Follow me and Dan on Twitter. Send us an email if you have any questions, anything you want to yell at us about the show. We're willing to read it. Have a great week, guys, and we will talk to you real soon. Bye, Dan.
See you later.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. The show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.